Hey, hey, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Following the Truth. It is August the 25th. I'm Gary Zimek, and I am pleased to be with you here once again. I always love it when we get to hang out together. Guess what we're going to be talking about today? We are going to be talking about going through the motions. Now, if you are somebody who received my email devotional today, I already, you know what I'm going to talk about because I discussed it. This is one of those topics that might not be popular. It's something that I would rather not talk about. But once again, the gospel from today's Mass really touched me because I think Jesus was reminding me that of an important fact of something that we got to be careful about. Sometimes, and tell me if you don't do this, when you hear a message in Scripture, you'll think, well, that doesn't apply to me. That applies to my wife, to my husband, to the guy who doesn't go to church. It applies to somebody else. These phonies who are in charge of my, who are working for my church. You know, we get these ideas that the message of the gospel or anywhere in Scripture, actually, sometimes doesn't apply to us. It applies to somebody else. And what do? We want a different message. You know my story. I love messages that are comforting, and my books are filled with them. Messages that remind me that God doesn't want me to worry, that He's there for me, that He is bigger than my problems. These are things I like to hear. But here's the problem. Sometimes I need to hear things from God that I don't like to hear. And that's the beauty of the Bible, because the Word of God is not a book. The Word of God is not a static collection of paper and old sayings and statements. This is God speaking to us through the Bible, and that's what happens is that sometimes I got to hear things that I don't want to hear. That's exactly what happened to me when I heard this gospel and literally the words of Jesus. I mean, this is a direct message from Him. So we'll share it. I'll read the gospel, and I'll tell you what I think the Spirit is saying, at least to me. And you may be able to relate as well. Again, it's not a popular message. It's not on the surface a comforting message, but it is in a sense because it reminds me that Jesus is watching me and He's helping me. He's not leaving me on my own to try to figure out how I'm supposed to live my life. He's guiding me and reminding me when I go off the path. And when you look at it that way, it's a very comforting message. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And again, I hope you're doing well. I had a pretty productive day today. As I record this, we are waiting for a potential thunderstorm, but we said our prayers. Eileen and the girls and I, we said our prayers, and we're leaving it up to Jesus to protect us. I don't think the weather is supposed to be too severe here. When we pray, though, I do want to pray for anyone who is in the path of the hurricane headed toward Texas and Louisiana. You may be in that position, so I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I will include that prayer when we do our opening prayer as well. We want to remember to pray for those who might be struggling with potentially bad weather. That's something we really want to recognize, that God has control over the weather, and we want to turn to Him and ask for help. So we will do that. And otherwise, I hope you had a good day. Got some writing done today. My day was good. Right now, it's pleasant. The sun's shining. So I hope you are doing well wherever you may be this day. And I hope you're ready to start talking about the Lord and how He's got some advice for us, and He wants to remind us of something. So before we do that, let's turn to our Father in heaven in prayer, and I would ask you to join me if you could as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to speak with You in prayer, to ask You for help, to praise You, to recognize that all glory and honor is Yours. Father, You are all-powerful, You are almighty, You have created the entire universe out of nothing. You keep the universe in existence. You keep me in existence. You created me. You are no match, or I should say, my problems are no match for Your power. You're bigger than any problem that I can ever face. You're bigger than the coronavirus. You're bigger than the division that we see in the world. You're bigger than cancer. You are bigger than anything we can ever face. So with that in mind, our confidence begins to grow as we turn to You in prayer. fully submitting to your will. Father, you are still the boss. We don't try to tell you what to do, but we recognize that you are all powerful. And there is a lot of comfort in that realization. So we thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. We thank you for providing for our needs. Father, we thank you for sending us Jesus, your Son, and for sending us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. I ask the Holy Spirit to come alive in me so that I can have the words for this prayer. And furthermore, for the words for this message on the show today. Come, Holy Spirit, work in me. Give me the words. Guide my thoughts. Guide my feelings, my emotions. Guide my words. Holy Spirit, you have permission to work in my life. And I pray that, Father, that through your Spirit, all of our minds be open so that we can hear your message today through your words in Scripture, be moved by that message, and be willing to put that message into practice in our lives. We pray, Father, for anybody who is struggling with the coronavirus today, spiritually, financially, emotionally, physically, and we pray for relief for them. We pray for healing for those especially who are stricken with COVID right now. We pray for an end to the virus. We pray for all those who work with the public that they will be kept safe. And we give you thanks, Father, for these individuals and their willingness to serve us and our needs by performing these various services. Father, we pray for anyone who is in the path of any severe weather, most notably the hurricane that is bearing down on Texas and Louisiana. We ask you to spare them any damage. We ask you to send the storm back out to sea where it will do no damage. We have confidence in your ability. We know that you can do this. Again, we submit to your authority, but we ask that in your kindness you allow this to happen. Father, we pray for all of our needs. We pray that you will guide us, draw us closer to you, and we ask that you keep us free from sin this day. Help us to do your will at all times. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. And I really do appreciate you spending time with me at my table. You know the deal. There's a place saved for you every day. You bring your own snack. You bring your own beverage. Look, I provide the content. You do your snacks. I got a very simple coffee mug filled with water today. I'm going to take a sip. Now, here's the deal. I'm from Philly. I'm from Philadelphia. Grew up in the northeast section of Philadelphia. Live in South Jersey, right over the bridge from Philly. Now, when I say the word water, this is interesting, and you'll be the judge of this, but I think that I know people across the United States probably pronounce the word water, which is, I guess, the correct pronunciation. Boy, that sounds weird saying that. It just doesn't feel right. But I say water, and I say coffee, right? And I think that, and I don't know why this is, I think that's more of a New York accent than it is a Philly accent, because in Philly, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, so don't worry. I think that a lot of people from Philly say water. There's a weird pronunciation, but I think my accent is more New York than it is Philly, even though I have nothing to do with New York. I mean, if you're from New York, please don't get offended, but I'm just saying I've grown up in the Philly area, but I think I have more of a New York pronunciation for the word water and coffee. But just saying. See, you never know what we're going to talk about on this show. So we prayed. I want to direct you to, let me leave this conversation behind so I can do something productive. You want to find more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Don't forget, you can pre-order my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress and Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. You can do that just by going to followingthetruth.com. And you can also sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, at the same place, followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is supply your email address, and you'll hear from yours truly once each day with a little Bible verse and reflection, and a short just a little short inspirational message to help you throughout your day. Okay, let's look at this gospel from today's Mass. And again, it's a harsh one. It's one of those where you hear the words of Jesus and you're tempted, if you're like me, to say, well, this doesn't apply to me, or I'm not really interested in this. I want you to tell me to let not my heart be troubled or something. You know, it's one of these messages. It's Matthew 23, verses 23 through 26. And Jesus said, woe to you. That's not a good start, right? When you hear that, woe to you, you know that this is, we're in for something. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And again, the religious leaders he's talking to. You know, he's always at odds with these guys. And there's a reason for it. But anyway, let's just read it. You hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You hypocrites. You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier things of the law. Judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. In other words, what Jesus is saying to the leaders is, guys, you are not being honest. You're leaving out parts of the law, the teaching that you should be giving to the people. You're leaving parts out. Now, this is the part that really got me. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. So, in other words, he says it once. He's about to say it again because he's got more to his message. You cleanse the outside of cup and dish. In other words, you go through the religious formulas to the letter. But inside, they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside may also be clean. And what Jesus is saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, again, the religious leaders, is you guys are a bunch of phonies. You're preaching a good game. You're following the letter of the law. You're doing all the rituals. You're saying the prayers. You're doing the novena for 9 days and not 8 days or not 7.5 days. I'm stretching this a little bit. Take a little poetic license. But you're going to daily Mass for you Catholics who go to daily Mass. You are going to daily Mass. You're doing everything. You're praying your daily rosary. You're doing everything. But inside, your heart is not matching up to your words. You are going through the motions. And you know what? When I first read that, I looked at those words when I heard it. I heard it for the first time at Mass today, and I thought this gospel I don't care about. I don't want to hear these words. I don't like this message because that applies to somebody else. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I spend time with Him every day. I read some amount of Scripture each day. I pray the prayers. I'm doing a good job. But you know what? Then, and that's what I like about these messages. I like this about Jesus for speaking to us in this way, and I like the fact that the Holy Spirit sometimes has to awaken in us the fact that this message does apply to us. It applies to me specifically. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm just going to say to me specifically. Sometimes I am just going through the motions, and I really wish that I didn't have to sit here and tell you that. But I need to hear this, and I need to pray for the grace to sincerely mean my prayers. And even if, and I'm not telling you that I have an ulterior motive, or when I'm praying, I don't mean what I say. For the most part, I do. I mean what I say, or at least I try to. But there are times when I tell the Lord I trust Him, or I want to do His will, and then somebody comes along who annoys me, and I'd rather get mad at that person or be impatient or be selfish and make sure that my needs are met instead of meeting the needs of that other person. You know, that's what Jesus told me, that I have to lose my life in order to gain it. I've got to be willing to die to self. But when my daughters or my wife or somebody interrupts my morning prayer ritual, which generally makes me feel really good. I like to be able to sit quietly with the Lord and spend time in prayer. But then somebody interrupts it. Maybe they got an important need. Maybe they need me for whatever reason. It happens. I get annoyed because I'm praying, you know, and that's when, and look, I'm being totally transparent with you here. I want you to know this. You need to hear this. That's when my prayer becomes more about me than it does about God, because God put me in this family situation. There are people in this house who need me. There are things that happen. Sometimes, yes, my prayers will get interrupted. Now, if I really care about my time with the Lord, I'm going to do all that I can to make sure that I do get that quality time. I'll set my alarm clock. I'll get up early. I'll deprive myself of some sleep. I won't start watching TV. You know, I'm going to give him the time. That's my goal. My goal is to spend time with him. But sometimes I'm not willing to go along with his will when it upsets my plans. And it happens all the time. We run into a problem with our car. It's raining out and we didn't expect it to rain. We get stuck in traffic. We oversleep and we're feeling a little off. So, you know, these little things, or sometimes not so little things, come up and disrupt our plans. And we are suddenly taken out of our comfort zone. You know, we are sailing on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden the storm comes up. And oftentimes, Jesus allows the storm to come up, as he did with his disciples, so that he can draw us closer to him, so that he could teach us something. But a lot of times we get annoyed at this because we want to serve him in the way that we want to serve him. And I say we, but I mainly mean I. This is my issue. This is my issue, okay? And it's a problem. And I really felt Jesus calling me out today, calling me out and reminding me that my external gestures, the novenas, the rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, daily mass, saying the prayers, my internal thoughts, my motives, the things that I feel inside have to match the externals. You know, I can go to mass, I can go to daily mass and daydream and just say the Our Father mindlessly. My lips go in autopilot, you know, and I've done this in the past. I mean, I'll admit it. And before you know it, I'm through the prayer thinking, man, I just daydreamed through that whole thing because I was worried about something or focusing on what I would do as soon as I got out of church. And it's an ongoing struggle. And I don't say this to make you feel bad. I say it to remind us all of the fact that it's easy to fall into this trap, where before you know it, we are going through the motions. And we maybe make it a point to pray our certain prayers every day, but yet a friend needs something and we don't have time for that person, or we prejudge somebody. And these are the things that we have to really think about. Do our external actions, especially religious ones, really represent what's going on inside of us? Are we following the Lord? Are we loving him with not just our words, but with our actions and with our internal disposition as well? It's an ongoing struggle. And thank God that through Jesus, he gives us these messages and these unpopular Bible verses, right? These unpopular Bible verses, passages that challenge us, that stretch us. Because you know what? The Lord loves us too much to keep us where we are. He wants us to grow. And that can be a painful process. So what I would encourage you to do is, when you hear a message like this, always try, and this is my belief, and you know, take it for what it's worth, take it or leave it, always try to apply it to yourself. And don't try to apply it to somebody else, because it's really easy to hear something like this and look at the leaders of your church, right? Whoever they may be, the leaders, the people in position of authority throughout the church, and equate this message to their actions, which might be true. It could be true at times, but you really should get something personally out of the Bible when you read it. So when you hear a gospel like this, yeah, you might look at somebody, you might say, well, my pastor, yep, that's him. But you got to really look at yourself, because you can't control his actions. You can't control anybody's actions except your own. You're responsible for how you behave. You know, you can, yes, you can mention some things to some people. If you have that kind of appropriate relationship with them, you might want to warn them about something you see in their behavior that's problematic. But primarily, when Jesus speaks to us through these gospels, he's speaking to us. And ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to get out of this? A lot of times the point is very small, very subtle. But we can always get something out of it. We should always seek to improve, because none of us are perfect. We always could stand to improve, to become more Christ-like. You know, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we look at those fruits really represent the attributes of Jesus. He lived these fruits of the Spirit. So if the Spirit is working in us, we should be able to exhibit these fruits. And people should look at us, right, and see peace and love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That those features should be evident in our lives if the Spirit is working. And what happens is this is a gradual process. And some days we're going to be exhibiting peace. Somebody will look at us and say, yes, he's very peaceful. Or, wow, what's self-control? That's good. And, you know, we're not doing this to show off. We're doing this to be Christ-like, because that's what we're called to be. I mean, he's our role model. We find a lot of role models, generally speaking, who are doing things in a way that makes us feel good. You know, it's easy for me to look at the guy who never goes to church and say, wow, comparing myself to him, I'm doing pretty good. Or the mass murderer, yeah, I haven't killed anybody. I'm in good shape. That's setting too low of a standard. We want to compare ourselves to Jesus, although it's not fun, right? It's not fun. Because then I have to acknowledge that, man, I messed up. But it's okay. We need to know when we're sick before we can go to the doctor to get better. You know, if I go to the doctor and say, well, I'm not sure what's wrong with me, I'm not sure, or I'm not willing to tell him the symptoms, then he's going to have a hard time diagnosing me. I need to understand what's wrong in my life so that I can turn to Jesus. He already knows. We're not kidding him. And say, Lord, please help me. Please give me the grace to get better. Help me to love people more. Help me to be more patient with my family, with myself, with you, Lord. Help me to exhibit some self-control. Help me to be faithful, Lord. I tell you, I'm going to pray every day. And man, I get sidetracked. I forget. I get bored. I don't want to do it. Help me, Lord, to be more faithful. But in order to ask for that help, and he wants to give us the help, in order to ask for that help, we need to recognize that there's a problem. Makes sense, right? So today, remember that gospel reading. Maybe take another look at it. You know, if you don't have a magazine that has the daily mass readings, you can find them online. You can go to the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's an easy way. They're all online. You can look at the daily mass readings. But this is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 26. Read through this again. And above all, you want to practice what you preach, both internally and externally. If I'm professing that I'm a Christian, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I don't want to be a jerk, because then I'm going to be looked at as a hypocrite. And who's going to want to be evangelized by a hypocrite? You know that for a fact, right? When you look at somebody who's preaching about Jesus and they're nasty and they're grouchy, you think, like, why should I listen to this person? I don't want any parts of this. And we want to be careful, because we want to attract souls to Christ. We don't want to push them away. So just some food for thought today. And, you know, it's great hanging out with you. Look, not every time is going to be a message that brings you comfort. But as I said at the beginning, it should bring us comfort in the sense that Jesus loves us enough to help us. He wants us to get better. He wants us to become more like him. He wants us to be willing to do as he did and follow the will of the Father at all times, because he wants us to live with him. He wants us to live with him forever in heaven. And that's really the goal of our life, to become like Christ and to live with him one day forever in heaven. And it's going to be so good when we get there. Let's just keep continuing working. Don't go crazy. Don't start doubting that you're going to get to heaven. Just try your best and really lean on the Lord. Let him nourish you through the sacraments, through the Eucharist, through the sacrament of penance. Read the Bible every day, a little bit, a couple verses here and there, and spend some time with him in prayer. And don't try to take on too much. You know, you don't want to overnight just say, well, from now on, I'm going to spend an hour each morning in prayer. No, start slow. If you're not used to praying, start with 10 minutes. But make sure you do it. And then you'll build up. You'll see, as you spend more time with Jesus and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, you will gradually and naturally want to spend more time with him, okay? Hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you're able to join me tomorrow on the program. I'm hoping I'm able to join me tomorrow, but that's going to be up to the Lord. He gives me another day, and I'm healthy enough to do the program. You know I'm going to be here. If you need anything, you can contact me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com. Donations are a little low right now, so if you're able to help me out with a donation, I would really appreciate that. You know what? If you could become a monthly sponsor, that would be tremendous. $10 a month. You can do it for $10 a month, which I think equates to 33 cents a day. And you could cancel it at any time. You could do it for 1 month and cancel it immediately. That would really help me. So if you're able to do that, please consider going to followingthetruth.com, clicking on donate, and becoming a sponsor. All right? You're amazing. I'm so grateful to spend the time with you, and I look forward to joining you next time on Following the Truth. Go ahead. Make it a good day, okay? See ya.